Seventh Day Adventists have hallowed what day? Saturday. Muslims?
Friday.
And most Christians? Sunday. It's interesting. What is the purpose of all that? Of a Sabbath day? What does it serve? Some people say that's a way of getting people into church and paying tithes, right? I want to explore a little bit about this. Jesus was a faithful Jew. We sometimes think of Christ, Jesus, as a Christian. Jesus was not a Christian. He was a Jew. And he was a faithful Jew. And many times in the gospel has him at the Sabbath day, preaching, attending, worshiping. The first time the Gospel of Luke has Jesus at the Sabbath in synagogue, he says, as was his custom. So it was important for Jesus. Jesus found on the practice of Sabbath something that fed his soul, nourished his commitment. It was on a Sabbath day that Jesus came to the synagogue in Nazareth and proclaimed his mission, the reason he thought God was calling him, when he said from the prophet Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the prisoners, recovery of sight to the blind, to liberate the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." That's understanding of what Jesus' mission was. So for him, the Sabbath day was all about that. To enact, to put in practice this message that he felt God was calling him. Sadly, this story that we heard today of a woman and the Sabbath, some preachers will use it to kind of poo-poo the Jewish faith. They will say, see, Jesus is much more enlightened. These backwards Jews who had these strange laws and these archaic belief systems and practices. And there's a little bit of a danger in that. It's kind of easy to just go that route. And now I invite you to, Jesus did not reject the Sabbath. Jesus did not put it aside. He was deeply committed. And on the contrary, what I would like to invite you is, in that faith practice, in that commandment that he had received as a faithful Jew, he discovered some liberating news. Let me explain. The Sabbath is one of the commandments. It was given to Moses, right? According to the legend, in Mount Sinai, where God gives Moses and the people of Israel these 10 rules, these 10 words. Just to notice, it doesn't mention worship. The original did not say, now you have to go to synagogue every Saturday or go to church. The original commandment, it was just rest. Keep holy by resting. Didn't mention much prayer or doing anything else. Don't work. That was the most important thing. It was later on that people were resting and said, oh, let's get together and let's pray. But the original commandment, it was just rest. And I would like to read you the commandment from the book of Deuteronomy. There, Moses wrote, observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you or your son and your daughter, or your male and female slave, or your ox or your donkey, or any of your livestock, or the resident alien in your towns, the immigrants, so that your male and remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. So the original idea is the Sabbath day was a liberating message. This is for the people who had been enslaved for years and years. Under the oppression of the Egyptians, they were bent over working, being exploited and oppressed. Can you imagine what this word would have sounded to their ears? It's not about going to church. It's an enslaved people, people who were oppressed, who were bent over. And they suddenly receive, you have a free day. That was not a common thing. If you were a worker, you work 7 days a week. I'm going to exploit you as much as I can. And this message was, no, you have a day off. And that was revolutionary. It was such a gift for the people of Israel to receive this gift from the oppression of Egypt. There's a Jewish rabbi who has a beautiful book explaining the Jewish traditions, the Jewish festivals, and has this explanation on the meaning of Sabbath, amongst many things. But he underlines this part. He says, the truly subversive power of Shabbat, Sabbath, is found in the command to stop the slave's work. By giving the slave equal freedom from work and prohibiting the master from ordering him to labor, the Torah ensures that on the Sabbath, servant and master meet as equals. Shabbat communicates to the slave, you are entitled to freedom. And by granting the slave an actual experience of liberty, the Torah plants the seed of rebellion against the status of slaves that the Torah has temporarily accepted. So it's an interesting interpretation. It was, the Sabbath was the promise of liberation and of freedom to the people. It was like a little seed that these people, having tasted what freedom and liberty and rest meant, that would prompt them to say, hey, I want more. So having this in mind, looking at today's story, Jesus and his customary practice of attending Sabbath at the synagogue is teaching. It was normal for him. It was at that time there was not a preacher. We would read and anybody just stood up and preached. I might do that sometime. That'll be good. So Jesus is, he takes the word and starts talking, explaining, sharing his ideas. And while he's talking, notice that, he stops his preaching. And he notices a woman who is bent over. She doesn't ask anything. She doesn't come, hey, Jesus, please heal me. He notices her. He sees her. I think it's important. He sees her afflicted, bent over, unable to stand for 18 long years. Jesus stops talking, calls her over, and tells her, woman, you are set free. Lays hands, and the woman immediately stood up straight and began praising God. This woman bent over like an overworked slave is seen by Jesus, who realizes that the meaning of Sabbath is precisely freedom from back-breaking work. And seeing her bent over cannot but embody in her this good news of liberation. He was preaching on the Sabbath and interrupts his teaching to bring into reality the true meaning of Sabbath. However, the synagogue officer, the leader, is indignant. He is mortified. And I want to be a little bit understanding of this guy. Maybe because I'm a pastor, kind of, right? But to be honest to him, he's indignant. And Jesus is very strong to him. But I don't think he was a callous man, not caring about helping this woman. He believes there's something more important that he needs to defend. And I think it was right. At the time, this message of liberation, of a free day for slaves, notice that the commandment says, you don't work, but neither your daughter or your son, so don't send them off to work, they don't work either, nor your slaves, woman and male, your ox, even the animals are spared work on the Sabbath day. And not even the immigrant, the aliens who are amongst you. None of them work. That liberating message was so important. And you can imagine, there was a lot of temptations to take it away. There were many people who were very much interested in taking that away. Imagine people who had lots of slaves and lots of employees would have loved that commandment to go away. so they could exploit their workers 7 days a week. So there was always a temptation. So the leaders of the synagogue were very careful. Be careful, because it encroaches in us this desire to take away from the Sabbath, to put us back into slavery. So I want to be a little bit understanding to this man. So he was trying to protect a principle, but in trying to protect it, he forgot the true meaning of the Sabbath and its freedom and liberating power. The man, it's interesting, doesn't address Jesus. He doesn't say, "Jesus, don't do that." He kind of avoids it, and he says to everybody else, "There are 6 days on which you work, on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." The synagogue leader is more worried in keeping up the religious practices and the religious structure. And in it, he has forgotten the profound meaning of what Sabbath means. And Jesus reorients this whole story. It's interesting, in the Jewish tradition, you could heal someone on a Sabbath day. It was not prohibited. But it was only in matters of death, matters of like urgency. And the leader of the Sabbath said, "Hey, this woman has been sick for 18 years. I mean, one more day is not going to kill her. I mean, she's too, 18 years. What difference is one more day going to make for her, right? Come on, just hold on to tomorrow. You can heal her on Sunday." But Jesus, he gets it. And I can understand the guy. He was trying to make the rules kind of stick. But Jesus says, "You don't get it. It is not only in extreme cases." And he gives the example. "Don't you take your ox and water, feed her when they're thirsty? If you take care for someone who is in distress, much more you should be aware when someone, a sister of yours, is in distress. So I'm healing her now." Jesus denounces them as hypocrites. One translation calls them charlatans. Notice Jesus also uses the plural. The leader of the synagogue, having become more concerned with the letter of the law than with the purpose of the law, didn't get it. This makes me wonder how many rituals, traditions, ideas we have in our church that have lost their deeper spiritual meaning, having been overlaid by spirit, killing ideas, rituals, and traditions. And I would just like to end by mentioning a coincidence. Today, here in the United States, we commemorate 400 years of the first Africans who were brought to this country as slaves. In 1619, August 25th, it is believed, John Rolfe, in his diary of, he's the husband of Pocahontas, he wrote in his journal, "About the latter end of August, a Dutch man of war ship brought not anything but 20 and odd Negroes, which the governor and Cape merchant bought for victuals, whereof he was in great need, as he pretended, at the best and easiest rates they could." That is the first witness of Africans being brought to this country. This man just mentions there were anything but 20 odd, as if they were just more or less 20 people. And then he says they were bought for victuals, which is food. Just, I mean, a human being compared to potatoes. And they were sold at the best and easiest rates they could. That is the beginning of this most horrendous institution, the enslavement of 12.5 million Africans who were brought to English America in appalling conditions in the voyage and in their lives after this. The echoes of this terrible sin are still felt in our present time. We just see it in the majority of imprisoned men are blacks, and young blacks, the sixth cause of death amongst them is being killed by a police officer. As we see Jesus interrupting his teaching to enact in his actions the liberating meaning of the Sabbath, we can ask ourselves, what would Jesus have done today to continue enacting the liberating message of his teaching. We in the Episcopal Church have also to be acknowledged our role in slavery. The Episcopal Church, in one of its general conventions, said, "We acknowledge our history of participation in this sin and the deep and lasting injury which the institution of slavery and its aftermath have inflicted on society and on the church. We express our most profound regret that the Episcopal Church lent the institution of slavery its support and justification based on Scripture. And after slavery was formally abolished, the Episcopal Church continued for at least a century to support de jure and de facto segregation and discrimination." Today at 12, I invite those who would like to stay to gather around below the belfry. We're going to ring the bells for 4 minutes. It's the Parks Service of the United States has invited churches and anybody in your home to ring a bell of your home, to ring a bell for 4 minutes, remembering the 400 years of slavery, of the beginning of slavery in our country, and its repercussions still to today. So if you want, you would like, come around a little bit before 12, we'll assemble below the bell tower and ring the bell, acknowledging our part as a church in this heinous institution, and also to recognize the power, the liberating power of Jesus' message of freedom that many use also to rile against this institution. Let us pray. Merciful God, as we pour out the wealth you have entrusted to us, the parched places are watered. As we seize our evil talk, the rising light of peace dawns in the darkness. So lead us in faithful living, that your promises may unfold in us as a woman's back long bent unfolds as Christ's command, to the praise of your holy name. Amen.